oh, what the heck, go for it anyway. And a fifth gate is build up to the big stuff. Slowly. Start out slowly. Build up your asking muscles. Celebrate with little victories. Each day, do a little more asking. It builds your confidence. Remember when you couldn't ask somebody out for a date and then it worked? Jack's going to tell you about a conference in Berkeley.
Now, it's really interesting, this build up to the big stuff slowly. I was the shyest kid in the planet. I mean, I think if girls didn't ask me out for dates when I was in high school, and fortunately, I was a good athlete, and they kind of come up to me, and it made it real easy, I never would have had a date. But I remember I was out of graduate school. I'm teaching. I'm at a conference in Berkeley. I've just made a presentation. It's the lunch break, and I'm getting out late because I got all my overheads to put together. And there's this woman standing in the hallway, and she's very attractive. And I thought, gosh, it'd be really neat to have lunch with her. But I looked at her. She was so beautiful, and I was so scared. But I said, you know, if you don't do this, you're never going to do it. So I walk up to her and I said, would you be willing to have lunch with me? And she said, you know, I'd love to, but I'm waiting to meet my husband. Now, I didn't get the date, but I walked away. I was so proud of myself because I'd simply asked.
We want you to keep stretching and having bigger and bigger challenges. When Jack and I were first doing the Chicken Soup series, like I said to you, write 101 goals, and I want you to send them in to me, and a year from the day I get them, we'll mail them back to you, and you'll be amazed how many of them come to pass and come to stay. But the other thing here is that we're real students of this business, and we wrote yellow little stickies of 1,094 little tasks that we're going to do to make this not a bestseller but a mega bestseller. And one of them we thought in our wildest, craziest imagination was we wanted to have our own TV show, so we put it on there. Now, we prioritized it, and we called it a wow of a business plan and wrote it up and made it very official. But when we're working on Chicken Soup for the Soul cookbook, which came about sort of miraculously, Price Club Costco is selling so many books, and Saul Price calls and says, boys, everybody thinks this is a cookbook and they're buying it. I think we ought to have a cookbook. And I said, nah, we don't want to do a cookbook. And then he says, but I'm going to give you a first order of 250,000 copies. I said, Jack and I can do a cookbook. And thank God I knew how to ask my wife. And she says, well, you need to do it with the world's greatest cookbook salesperson at the time, was our friend Diana von Wellnitz Wentworth. So we do it with her, and it was obviously a mega bestseller. But we're sitting with her at lunch one time, and it's always fun to work with a great chef. I mean, she just made the most spectacular, most aesthetically pleasing, aroma-filled rooms. It was so good. It was just such a joy to be with Diana. And she said, well, boys, tell me what your dreams are. And we told her we want to be on TV. She said, would that be easy? One of my best friends is Vin DeBona. I'll just set up the appointment. I'd just gotten a new car, and we drive up in a new car to see Vin DeBona. Now, he's just flown back from Europe because his show, America's Funniest Home Videos, owns 30 million viewers in America, but it owns 38 million viewers in Europe. And he's flown back, and he's got jet lag. This guy is a sartorial splendor to the max. He sits down, and we talk about what it means to be number one bestseller. And the whole way through, he's saying, no, boys, you missed it. This is the time of hard copy. This thing ain't going to work. And his partner was in the room, Lloyd Weintraub. And Lloyd says, I didn't know we were having this meeting, Vin, but last night my wife brings home this little green marble-covered book, and she read me this one story, and it'll take me just a paragraph to tell it to you. Vin says, have at it. He said, a little old man is in a bus carrying 24 red roses, and across the aisle is a diminutive 17-year-old girl that's as pretty as she could be. She keeps furtively glancing at the flowers, saying, someday will a man love me enough to give me flowers like that. As the little old man gets up to get off the bus, he walks over to the lovely blonde, lays the flowers gently in her lap, and said, I was going to give them to my wife, but I think she'd like you to have them. Tears start streaming down her cheeks. The old man shufflefoots off the bus. As the bus takes off, she watches as the old man walks into the cemetery. Vin says, we can do this TV show. One story, our greatest strength. We'd never used it. We'd been asking, but we'd never done the prelogue of a story. Now, it's taken Vin 5 years to sell it. Like everybody else, it's a numbers game. We said that at the beginning of this. Vin got turned down by ABC, by NBC, by CBS, by Fox. And along comes Lowell Bud Paxton. Walks away with $4.5 million after selling Home Shopping Network, has got little kids at home, and says, I think other people have missed their mission and commission. I'm going to do quality family. And he buys Touched by an Angel. He buys Dr. Quinn Medicine Women, and he buys our show. And he thinks it's going to be an all-time grand slam home run. And who does he hire? Former head of CBS that made The Cosby Show, a guy named Jeff Sagansky. And when he calls up Jeff Sagansky and says, I want you to work with me, I was talking to Jeff at lunch one day, and Jeff said, I heard that he was mercurial. So I said, look, I understand your temperature goes up and down. The only way I'm willing to leave Sony, he'd left CBS and was with Sony and flying back and forth to Japan every 6 weeks running this great mega corporation for the Japanese. He said, as if I come and live with just you and I in your house for 4 days and see if we get along. Well, these guys synchromeshed in time and space, and now PaxNet is the new network to watch out for. See, you got to learn to practice asking.
Now, here's a good point I want to make. Mark tells a story. We're talking about Vindabona, CBS, NBC, PaxNet Television. Again, if you're listening, that may seem a little beyond the reality you live in. But that asking of Vindabona to do a TV show was a result of 5 years of our building up our asking ability. I remember the first time someone said, you guys ought to be on TV. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. I didn't have a clue about how you approach a producer. How do you approach a director? What do you say to him? How do you present it?
How do you script it? How do you write it? How do you get actors to act in it? Now what's happened is we have gotten, because we keep visualizing, dreaming, and asking for the absolute best, stuff that is so outrageous you can't believe it, and it's endless because we ask and we hang around master askers.
And the point is, you got to build up to the big stuff slowly. Neither Mark or I would have been able to have that meeting with Vindabona if we hadn't been asking people all along, can you introduce us to a director? How do we do this? What should we say? Everyone we'd meet in the industry, we'd say, well, how do you pitch this? What do you do? And we'd start with little things, like maybe we can meet with this guy over at PBS. Maybe we can meet with this person. You practice asking, and you practice with small stuff. If asking's difficult, ask for a hug. Ask your kids to clean up the room. Ask your wife to spend an extra 5 minutes with you before you run off to work in the morning. Ask for someone to just listen to you. Ask someone at work to go to lunch with you. Build up that asking muscle. Start slow with people you feel safe with. When my wife Georgia decided she wanted to do a couples course, she started by asking everyone we knew to be in the class. She asked the people who work for us. She asked her best friend if she'd bring her husband. The first class we ran was in our living room. It was for 6 couples. And then we had to go out to the world. And the next class was like we had to call strangers, what Mark said earlier about having your phone book being your cold call list. And Georgia is absolutely afraid to ask people for anything, so afraid of rejection. So she got her friend Stephanie to come over and sit by her and hold her hand. And Stephanie would dial the phone number, and then Georgia would sit there, and she'd say, come on, Georgia, talk. And Georgia would start talking and say, look, we're going to do the seminar. We'd like you to come. Would you be interested? Would you be willing to sign up? And then she'd hang up. She'd go, I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I did it. Now, Georgia runs these seminars all around the world for organizations like the Young Presidents Organization. I think we've done that in like 7 or 8 different countries. So the point is, she started by starting with her friends, people she knew would be very difficult to say no. And if they did say no, it wouldn't be that big a deal. And then she moved out to people that were scarier.
Remind yourself why you're asking. What is the bigger purpose?
What will be accomplished if you ask for what you want?
Will you be able to feed your family?
Would you be able to send your kids to college?
Will you be able to feed the homeless in your community?
Once you connect with the higher purpose of what you're doing, it makes the fear seem petty in comparison.
So ask yourself, how will this benefit me? And how will this benefit others that I care about?